All right, so if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to pick it up. Romans chapter 12. So I hope this series is not slaying you that we're going so slow through the book of Romans. I'm personally enjoying it and getting a lot out of it, and I trust that you are too. So Romans 12. Basically, Romans 1, chapter 1 through Romans 11, Paul lays out his understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You all know the Romans road, right? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know that one. Yep. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. I should have probably read this one first or quoted it. God demonstrates his own love toward us. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God loves us, but we've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God, Jew and Gentile alike. The wages of that sin is death. Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But now, kind of the ball's in our court. There needs to be a response on our part. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So being a Christian is not about attending church. I'm all for attending church. It's not about trying to, you know, do good things and stop doing bad things and all that kind of stuff. But of being a Christian, being reconciled to God, is basically responding in faith to the gospel, believing what Jesus did for us on the cross. He never sinned, okay? He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He is the only human being that never sinned, and yet he willingly, he made it clear, he didn't just get caught by the authorities. He willingly laid his life down as a sacrifice for you and for me, paying the penalty for our sin so that we could be forgiven for everything we've ever done. We could be embraced by God and adopted into his family and made his sons and daughters. That's what the Bible talks about, being born again. When the Spirit of God comes inside your life, and now you're God's child, his son or daughter, not based at all on our behavior, if we've kept the rules or kept the law, or not based on our family line, that we're born of the right family, none of that, okay? But simply by believing the good news. So, here we come. That's Romans 1 through 11. Now we get to Romans 12, and the Apostle Paul kind of changes gears and basically says, now, in light of this, how should we live as a Christian? Okay? In light of all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ, now how should we so live? I think it's the way Francis Schaeffer wrote the famous book. How should we so live? So now it's going to get really practical here. Romans 12, 13, 14, 15 gets real practical on how now we should, as God's sons and daughters, live our lives. We should be markedly different than we were before. Amen?
Yes.
Really markedly very, very different. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Today I'm going to talk about living as a living sacrifice and what that means. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. And now, Lord, help us to embrace, as sons and daughters, Lord, help us to embrace living in a totally different way. As Paul said here, living sacrifices. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you for the power of your Word. And we just ask your blessing and your help today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about living as a living sacrifice and what that means and what that entails. So first thing I want you to understand about living as a living sacrifice, I want to start in the first phrase here. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Okay, by the mercies of God. What that means is the apostle is saying, in light of God's mercy toward us, in light of his grace, now we should respond and live as a living sacrifice. Okay? It's so critical that we get that get that order and keep that order through our entire lifetime. Okay? Absolutely imperative. Now you gotta understand, the Jews were well accustomed to the concept of sacrifices. They were totally indoctrinated with all the Old Testament sacrifices and the sacrificial system, and bringing a lamb, and bringing a bull, or bringing turtle doves, or bringing crops, and bringing food. All these were part of their mindset as Jewish people. They understood what sacrifices were all about. But you also have to understand the non-Christian world, the heathen world, the Gentile world, they were also quite familiar with the concept of sacrifices. Okay, religious people all over the world for millennia have been involved in sacrifices. Now, what their sacrifices normally meant was they would bring something to their god or gods, small g, usually often to appease him because he was angry with them. Okay? And so it was basically a way to get an angry god to please, not be quite so angry with us little peon human beings. Or sometimes there would be a drought or some kind of, you know, natural calamity, and so they would bring sacrifices to basically ask the god, small g, to please, you know, be merciful to us. But I want you to understand, a Christian sacrifice is 180 degrees from that, okay? We don't bring sacrifices so that God would accept us. We do not bring sacrifices so God would not be angry with us anymore. We don't bring sacrifices so we can earn brownie points with him. We bring sacrifices in light of the mercies of God, in light of his grace, in light of who he is and what he's done for us. Basically, a Christian's sacrifice is basically a great big thank you. It's like, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done for me. It's so important that we understand that order. We cannot, it's easy to do. It's easy to get that order reversed. Okay? We are not trying to gain God's favor in our sacrifices. We're simply responding to his mercy and grace that is toward us. Super important. Now, you can have lots of wrong motives for a sacrifice, even as a Christian, okay? Some people, they have guilt, and so they're gonna pay their, they were a rotten Christian this week, so they're gonna bring their tithe, and hopefully God will be merciful to them. Or, you know, they're motivated by guilt. That's a horrible motivation to give any kind of sacrifice, to bring any kind of sacrifice to God. Some people are motivated by fear. You know, if I don't do this, I'm going to get knocked over the head really hard by the old heavenly 2x4. Some are motivated by pride. Think about the Pharisees. You know, they would kind of be a little braggadocious. God, thank you. I'm not like other men. You know, I tithe this and I give that, and man, I am sold out. I am really committed. Look at all I do for you, God. So there's their quote sacrifices are really rooted in and motivated by pride. Once again, the only motivation for a Christian is in light of God's mercy and grace. It's just a big thank you. Really it is. So it's important that, you know, Paul starts by the mercies of God. We have to keep this order, keep this in the proper order. In light of his mercy, in light of his grace, in light of who he is and what he's done. You know, I'm 51 years old, and I'm like more and more aware all the time of how many things in my life are not based on like a decision that I made. Like the family that I grew up in, I had nothing to do with that. When I was born, where I was born, you know, where I went to college because my dad suggested you should go to Potsdam State. I had no idea what I should do. It was one of the best decisions that I listened to my dad, even as an unsaved 18-year-old kid. You know, you can see in the rearview mirror, you can often see the hand of God leading you and guiding you, not because you're making all the wise decisions, but just in his providential grace and mercy and care, he's at work in your life. And so, you know, when we approach God and we now as a living sacrifice, and we'll talk more about this in a second, you know, it just basically, it starts with the mercy of God. We're not gaining favor. We're not getting brownie points in light of who he is and what he's done. Living as a living sacrifice is just, it's just our response back to him. Okay? So it starts by the mercies of God. The second thing I want you to know about this sacrifice is this. It is just that. It's called a living sacrifice. Okay? In the Old Testament, when they would do a sacrifice, they would slit the throat of that animal and drain the blood, the life blood, out of that animal. And eventually, fairly quickly, it was dead. Okay? The thing about a living sacrifice is it speaks of a daily kind of commitment to God, a daily surrender. Now, don't get me wrong, there is a time and a place and there's a moment in time when a person surrenders to Jesus Christ and they're born again and they're saved and they're brought into the family and all their sins are forgiven. There's a moment in time when that happens. But this idea of a living sacrifice, meaning I committed myself to Jesus yesterday and I humbled myself before him and I opened my heart to him. Guess what? I do it again today. Lord, I am not my own. I didn't create myself. I didn't save myself. Lord, my life belongs to you. Here I am. You know, do it whatever you want with me today. Help me to be more like you. Help me to grow. Help me. And so you make that fresh surrender today. And guess what? You're going to do it again tomorrow. And you're going to do it again the next day. And you're going to do it again the next day. A dead sacrifice, you do it once, you can't kill that thing again. It dies and it's dead once and for all. The thing about a living sacrifice, someone once said, is the living sacrifice is always trying to crawl off that altar. Okay? Because it's still alive. It's not completely dead. It wants to get off. Well, you need to get it back up on there again, present our bodies, present ourselves to the Lord, and so it's a continual thing over and over and over. The last thing is about this living sacrifice. I already said that. Here's the last thing I want you to know. It says this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? That word reasonable is where we get the word reason and logic. So there's nothing, this isn't motivated by simple emotion. And it's okay to be emotional as a Christian. Emotions are good. Matter of fact, we have emotions because God has emotion. God gets angry, he feels sad. You know, we have emotion because he has emotion. But this is more than just an emotional commitment. This is a reasonable act of service. This is a reasonable, some translations say, a reasonable act of worship. So, when we look with eyes open at who Jesus is and what he's done for us, it's totally reasonable to surrender everything we are to Him. Amen. It's completely rational to completely surrender to Him and give ourselves fully to Him. Now listen to me. You know, you've heard it said, or the whole concept of moderation is the key to life. You know, don't eat too much. Don't drink too much. Don't, you know, you can be a workaholic. Don't work too much. Don't live for leisure. Leisure, rest has a place, but don't make that, you know, your big thing in your life. So moderation is a key to you know, living as a human being. Let me tell you what, there's one area of life that you should not be moderate about, and that's your commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen. It's completely appropriate to be way out of bounds, to be way over the top. You can't be, you and I cannot be too over the top in love with God and committed to His purposes.
Amen.
Just can't be. Not in light of what He's done for us. Okay? Now, if you're trying to compare yourself to, you know, what people think we should do, you know, don't get too fanatical about that Jesus stuff. Then you'll want to tamp it down. You'll want to temper it. But in light of Jesus Christ, who He is and what He's done, there's no sacrifice that's too extreme. None. I was reading about, you've heard of the missionary David Livingstone. He was a missionary explorer in the African continent, I think in the 1800s. 1700s? Okay. Bob would be a guy, you know when you play that game, you dial a friend? Bob would be the guy, because I'm serious, he's just a wealth of knowledge. It's great having you in the front row. I probably am a little lazy on my prep because I know Bob is there. 1700s. That's a compliment, bro. I hope you receive it as such. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But he basically said this, David Livingstone, this guy lived a really hard life, and in the jungles of Africa, he was actually attacked by a lion, he almost died. I mean, he went through some amazingly difficult stuff. He was, and near the end of his life, he was just so upset when people would talk about how much he sacrificed for the sake of the gospel. Because he would always be, I didn't sacrifice anything. He sacrificed it all for me. Compared to what he's done for me, I've done like nothing. And I think that's just such a great perspective. Okay? So we can't get too fanatical about loving and serving God. This is a reasonable act of service. This is a reasonable way to respond. You remember some of the stories with Jesus in the Gospels? And this woman with the alabaster box, it was worth like a year's salary. She breaks it open and pours it over Jesus' head and washes His feet with it. And the disciples were like, man, they were upset because that was worth a lot of money. They could do some good religious work with that. And Jesus totally rebuked them. He said, what she's doing, she's understand. What she's doing is completely appropriate. Okay, in light of who I am and what I've done, what I'm going to do. Okay, so there's no, don't be moderate in your love and your service to Jesus Christ. You're allowed to be fanatical. In fact, we ought to be. We ought to be over the top. Okay, it's a reasonable act of service to who He is and what He's done. So the next verse here, verse 12. Now, as a living sacrifice, there's two commandments that are given to us. One is negative and one is positive. We read verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will, the will of God. So first the negative command. Do not be conformed to this world. What I want you to see, first of all, is there's no third option here. Okay? There's no, like, you know, you know how a river goes downstream, and you've maybe heard it said that if you're in a boat and you're going down the river, as a Christian, you need to fight against it. You can't just go with the flow, because the flow is headed downstream. We're called to go, not be conformed to this world, be different than this world. And so there's no middle ground here. There's no third option. There's no little like sandbar in the middle where you're not moving one way or the other. We either are being conformed to this world or we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, no middle ground. And so, first on this negative command, we all are constantly being bombarded by worldliness. Okay, now typically or you know, in some like some church circles, worldliness is described as these five things. These are the five things we shouldn't do, and if we don't do them, we're not being worldly. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't go to movies, don't dance, and above all, don't play cards. Okay? So, amen, brother. So, I'm not saying that how we spend our time and our leisure isn't important. It is. Okay, it really is. But worldliness is a lot deeper than simply how we spend our leisure time. Okay? Worldliness is a mindset, it's an attitude. Basically, what do we value? Do we value simply what the world values? Do I value the same things now that I'm a Christian that I did before I was a Christian? I hope not. I shouldn't be. Okay? And so worldliness is more akin to that. There's a kind of a funny commercial that I saw a week or two ago. It's a State Farm commercial, and I can kind of relate to this guy. The commercial is, he says, "I will never." I'll start telling it, maybe some of you will recognize it. So it's this young guy, he's sitting at a pool with a bunch of his friends, looks across the pool and he sees this really attractive girl. He leans over to his friends and he goes, "I will never get married." Next scene flashes and he's in a jewelry store picking out a diamond ring. He goes, "Yeah, that's the one I want." So he's buying a diamond ring. And so then the next scene shows him and his new bride sitting in an airplane. And a seat or two over, there's a fussy little baby crying really loud. He leans to his wife, he says, "I will never have any kids." Next scene flashes over, his wife's in labor in the hospital room, and he's coaching her through labor, okay? And so then it flashes a little further. Let's see, what was the next part of it? Which one? Oh yeah, he goes, I'll never have more kids, and then she's like, "Oh, I'm pregnant," or something, right? And then, I know what it was. So the kid is sitting in a high chair, and they're sitting in this like totally cool high-rise apartment in a city, and he leans to his little baby, he goes, "I will never live in the suburbs." Next scene, he's out front clipping the hedges, you know what I mean, on a suburban house, and then there's a minivan that drives by in the road. He goes, "I will never have a minivan." Next scene, he's cleaning the hood of the minivan, you know. And so I'm going somewhere with this. So I can totally relate to, basically, that guy was being conformed to the pressures and society, and all those things are good, you know. I'm embracing family, marriage, family, all that stuff's good. None of it was bad. But I could totally relate to the sense of, you know what, I'm like being carried here to a place I don't really want to go. And I'm just, the water's flowing that way. And that's the way it is with worldliness. We are being bombarded constantly with the values and the thoughts of the world. I turned 51. Last year, guess what I started getting in the mail? AARP. I've been throwing them out ever since. I'm telling you, I'm not giving into that. But the point is, you know, they want you to just think, "Oh my gosh, you're 50 years old and you only have how much saved?" You know what I mean? It's like all this stuff. I'm not saying we shouldn't be responsible and pay our bills and plan ahead. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there's this, the value system of the world, which is constantly encroaching on you and I as a Christian. And as a believer, we are told, commanded, not to be conformed, okay, to this world. We are not to be conformed to this world. But we're supposed to be, the positive command is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want you to understand, you are not, and I am not transformed in a moment of time. In some ways we are. When we're born again and we commit our life to Christ and we open our heart to Him, something significant happens. Okay, we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. So I don't want to minimize the new birth and being born again and getting saved. But actual living the Christian life, actually being different, actually the goal is to be more and more like Christ. Okay? That does not happen in an instant of time. That does not happen in a one-time, Jesus, forgive me, come into my life. It happens over the long haul. And the key here is we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay? I believe that's one of the main reasons God's given us a Bible, is to renew our mind. Now, this Bible... certainly, Jesus Christ is the hero of the story, and He's the center stage of this story and this book. But there's a lot in here about all kinds of stuff. You know, how we're supposed to think about God, how we think about ourselves now, how we think about our failure, how we think about our childhood, how we interact with other people. If you're married, how you interact with your spouse, your children, the boss. I mean, there's a lot in this book, okay? And this verse is saying we're transformed. We're more and more like Christ as our mind is renewed by this word, okay? By the truth of God. That's what changes us over time. And so you show me a Christian who's not in the book, I'll show you someone that probably is struggling with a lot of worldliness, and there's not a lot of ground being taken in being transformed more and more like Jesus Christ. Okay? It just is. So that's what we're told to do. We're told to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So in a nutshell, there's nothing too extravagant for us to give to Jesus. There's nothing too much over the top. We're called to be a living sacrifice every day. Lord, here's my life. Here I am. I present myself to You. My time, my energy, my family, everything. Lord, I'm not my own anymore. I was bought at a price. And that's in light of Romans 1 through 11, that's how we should live from that point forward as a living sacrifice. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hey, Rob, would you mind coming up? I just want to, can we end with a song here? Just kind of a song afresh. I think every time we come to church, we should, in a sense, you know, I've told my wife, we're married almost 26 years. I told her I loved her the day I married her. I've told her a few times since, though. Right? In the same way with our walk with God, you know. It's not just a one-time thing. Every day, just a fresh surrender. Every day, a fresh, Lord, I love You. My life is not my own. Here I am. Right, so why don't we stand up together and just, in a fresh way, surrender to Jesus.